Truly a good day to give him praise. Amen. Been a great, great Lord's day. What a great time this morning we had in the house of the Lord. Great message. And we're so thankful for that. But it's great to see you back in the house tonight. And we're going to go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask the Lord to be in our service. We're going to try our best to pull off a song from the past here in a few minutes. Hope that you enjoy it. I hope we don't kill Brother Don. But we've got him here. We're going to take advantage of him for a few minutes tonight. And I've kind of pressed this song on him, but it is a song that we've done for years and years and years, entitled, My God is Real. And I know that he is, and I know it's going to be a blessing to you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Brother Siglon, would you lead us as we pray? Amen. Church, if you'll stand and join the choir tonight as we sing, page number 139, page 139 at Calvary. See you here tonight. Please remember all of the prayer requests that were given this morning, especially Pastor's family, his dad, and his grandfather, and we want to lift them up in prayer. And please support our pastor. I know you will with prayer, and just ask the Lord to surround them and give them the strength and the peace and the encouragement that they need going through this very difficult time. And again, just be with all the other prayer requests. I know we've got some folks that have gone through some things. Continue to pray for Claudia. Brother Harold, it's great to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening, and we just praise the Lord for that and ask the Lord to continue to be with you and give you the strength that you need. And please remember that next Saturday, the choir will be going up to Eastwood at 11 o'clock next Saturday morning for choir rehearsal for a singing and an event that will be taking place next Sunday evening. So don't come here next Sunday evening unless you want to come by here and pick up a bunch of folks to take up there with you. Brother Brian, I'd like to talk to you about that in just a minute, brother. But please, if we can kind of carpool around next Sunday evening, that'd be great. But we look forward to taking the whole bunch up there with us. It'll be a great, great event next Sunday evening at Eastwood Baptist Church. And Brother Alan Barrett, we're going to honor him and celebrate his ministry that he's been involved in with choirs all down through the years. Brother Alan's been a great, great blessing to us. Our nearest affiliation is his leadership of the choir over at Floyd Road. And we're just excited to be able to go and be a part of that service on next Sunday evening. we've got Jubilee, we've got Otis Nixon, and right behind all that will be, as believe it or not, we'll be talking about Easter before you know it. So please just make all those things a matter of prayer. But we're very excited about next weekend, so you pray for the choir, and please pray for the service tonight. Pray for pastor as he brings our message, and Brother Don as he sings in a few moments. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. Also, there's a chili cook-off, eating, cooking, whatever you want to call it.
Fundraiser.
We're going to try our best to raise at least, we're not going to limit God, but we're going to at least need $1,500. And we're very excited about that, and it will help. I know Brother Randy will be very appreciative of all of that that we can do. So we're excited about what the Lord's doing around here at Calvary. So it will be a fundraiser, and that will be a great chili dinner that night. And that's on the 28th, is that correct? The last Sunday of this month. So please remember that. Yes. $450 donated this morning, and for that fundraiser. So we thank the Lord, praise the Lord for it, and so God's good. Amen.
Amen.
We're looking forward to what He will. If we'll just trust Him, if we'll just trust Him, and not limit Him. There's no telling what God wants to do here at Calvary, and we're excited about seeing what the Lord's doing. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask Him to be with us tonight. Father, we love You and praise You. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity we have to be back in Your house this evening. Lord, thank You for the good news of the gospel that we can hear each time the doors are open here. Lord, You are a good God. You're an awesome God, and You are so good to us. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for all that You do for us. And Lord, I pray that You would just be with us tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd be with every prayer request. Many, I'm sure, that we fail to mention, but Lord, I'm glad to know that You know about them all. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd just be in the service, be with our pastor. Now, bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, You know exactly what is needed. Lord, we're going to praise You and thank You for all that's accomplished tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
was thinking this afternoon, and I've thought about this song for the past few weeks, and it just seemed that we had a lot of things going on, and I thought we might just wait and do it next Sunday, but not everybody's going to be here next Sunday in the choir. So I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity. I don't want to let an opportunity pass by, and him and Miss Carla have been here with us, and not use him and not try and see if we can't pull this song off one more time for the Lord. Amen. And but I thought about Brother Don and Miss Carla, and I am so thankful for their faithfulness. They've been faithful to follow God as he has led. And I hate that sickness and doctor appointments is what's brought you back here, but I'm so thankful that they have had an opportunity to be here with us, and we'll take them as long as we can get them. Amen. But, you know, they don't miss a service. They're here. They teach Sunday school. They just jump in just like they have always been here with us. But I'm thankful for that. And you pray for Brother Don tonight as he sings and believes, my God is real.
Oh, Well, it's good to be here tonight. Hope everybody had a good afternoon. And these Sunday afternoons are brief. So for those who got in a nap, good for you. And those who didn't. But anyway, appreciate the singing tonight. And appreciate that song, Brother Don. Thank you, Brother Allen, for lining that one up. Let me just mention a couple things before we get into the message tonight. I do remember Miss Glenda Henderson. She's at home, not doing well. And just remember her in your prayers. Those mentioned a bit earlier. Brother Leonard with his COVID he's dealing with. And not really sure if he's going to make it on Tuesday or not to the doctor for that foot surgery. But if he does, let's remember him in advance on that. The chili fundraiser. I'm going to say chili cook-off too. We used to call it that back at Floyd Road. But remember that. And again, we praise the Lord for the money that's already been given for our goal towards the technology upgrade. And just got a lot going on, and looking forward to each and everything that's going on. All right. I feel like I didn't mention much, but at least I had my bulletin laid out in front of me, and I scanned it as I was talking. All right, Isaiah 55 tonight. Isaiah 55. I tell myself I'm not going to ramble much before I preach, but I always do. And it's kind of like the airplane that's on the runway. Needs a little time to get up in the air, get going. But Isaiah 55, in just a moment, I want to read one verse, verse number 11, but I want to go ahead and give you my title tonight, and I'm going to piggyback, if I could say it that way, from the message this morning. And I want to talk to you tonight on sharing Jesus with others. Sharing Jesus with others. We all live in a world that's mixed with both saved and lost people, those who have accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and those who have not. It is a field that is mixed with both saved and lost. There's a parable in the Bible of the wheat and the tares. And so this is a real thing. You know that as well as I do. There's no challenge tonight rubbing shoulders with saved people, those who are part of the family of God. We have things in common. There's no challenge with rubbing shoulders with them, being buddies with them. The challenge is rubbing shoulders and being buddies with lost people, those that we don't have anything in common spiritually. It's always a challenge when you're around those who have not accepted Jesus as their Savior. Their whole belief system is different. They handle and conduct life differently. It may be on the job that you work with someone that's not like you spiritually. It may be in the community. At some point, we will come in contact, I'm sure it's every day for most of us, with a lost person or someone who does not know Jesus as their Savior. But most of these times, there is plenty of opportunity to witness to them, to talk to them about the Lord. There's two reasons why I believe that a person doesn't witness. Someone doesn't take advantage of an opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord. Again, it may be on the job. Of course, you're to give your boss the hours of work there while you're working. And it ought to be about work, but there may be an opportunity on the job, in the community, at the grocery store. So here's two reasons why I believe a lot of people, and even at times, including myself, we don't witness. Number one, some people just don't know what to say when they come in contact with an old friend, with someone that perhaps they don't even know. They just bumped into in the community and they want to witness. Sometimes they just don't know what to say. And hopefully by the end of this message, this lesson tonight, we'll have a better understanding and know what to say. Number two, not only they don't know what to say, but they fear being rejected if they do say something. Those are two common things that we all battle with. Don't know what to say, or if we say something to be rejected. And nobody likes to be rejected. And so tonight, I want you to notice in Isaiah 55, verse 11, this has always helped me when I've witnessed to people, told people about Jesus. And that is this, in verse number 11, Isaiah 55 and verse number 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so it's really not about saying all the right things and knowing the whole Bible. It's just about saying something about God, something about the Bible that you know. And the Bible says that His Word will not return void. That's comforting, the times that I've witnessed, to know that, well, a lot of times I walk away saying, I should have said this, I should have said that, or maybe I should have left that out, but I didn't, or maybe I should have, again, said this, said that. And so I walk away sometimes feeling defeated, but I have to remember that God's Word will not return void. It will accomplish what He wants it to accomplish. And so that's helpful to remember when you're in a situation of sharing Jesus. But there's also something else to remember when you're in a situation, an opportunity where you can share Jesus, and that is we're all used differently. We're just used differently. Don't turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, I have planted, speaking of Paul, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God uses some people to plant the word, and then God uses other people to water the word, but only God can bring forth the increase. And that's very comforting to know. You may go to witness to somebody, and the word has already been planted, and all you have to do is just pour water on it, love on them. Of course, share whatever God has put on your heart to share. But some God has used to plant the word. Others, again, water. But only God can give the increase. I thought this was interesting. I read this some time ago, but under an article that says 25 things pastors cannot do. And here's three of them. Number one, pastors cannot change hearts. Pastors cannot make churches grow. Pastors cannot empower you. These are only the things that the Holy Spirit of God can do. He's the one that gives the increase. He's the one that changes hearts. He's the one that makes churches grow. He's the one that empowers. And so when we look at it in that light, in that perspective, when we go to share Jesus, all the weight is off our shoulders, and it's on the Lord's shoulders, because He's the one that gives the increase, and it's His word that doesn't return void. And so, not only that, but there's two ways that we can be a witness for Jesus. And both of these ways are very powerful. Number one, we can be a witness for Jesus with our lives. We visually live out the gospel. There's just some people that you can't witness to. I know you've probably met them. I have myself, and they totally are against the gospel. They put up roadblocks mentally. They just don't want to hear it. So you live your life out in front of them. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so tonight I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but it's good to be reminded that with our lives, visually, we can preach a message of Jesus. But not only with our lives, we can visually preach this message, or we're to live it out, that is the gospel, but with our lips, we verbally share the gospel. Now, I've been able to make some friends from the past 3 to 4 years, probably closer to 5 years actually, at the Grand's gas station. I mentioned that, it seems like, 2 or 3 times in the past 2 or 3 weeks. I like the Grand's gas station. And somehow, through these years, they figured out that I was a pastor, which that opened up a door to a few of them sharing their hearts, and a few of them actually said they wanted to come to church. They haven't yet, but we're still praying and being friendly. In fact, one morning at the cash register, this man that was working there said, when I found out that you was a pastor, I told myself, that makes sense. And I asked him what he meant by that. I'm certainly not promoting myself tonight, but he says, that makes sense. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you're always so nice. Again, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we are always to be conscious that our life is preaching a visual message, and we ought to be ready to witness audibly with our lips, give the gospel, give your testimony. That's what Paul did in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 15. I'll give it to you. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. That word answer in the Greek is apologia. It almost sounds like apologize, and it means not that we apologize for the gospel, but we give a defense for the gospel. It's apologetics, the study of soul winning. And the Bible tells us to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What would you do tonight if you left here and went to the Waffle House and the waiter or waitress heard you talking about church and the gospel, and they looked right at you and said, what is so great about God? And what is so great about going to church? What would you say? I mean, think about it. What would be your defense? What would be your answer? You know, don't say it out loud, of course, tonight, but these are things that we need to think about, and we need to be ready as much as possible. So tonight, just for a few moments, I want to give you three these about sharing Jesus with others. The first V is vision, and that is the vision we should have. Tonight, every child of God ought to have a hunger and thirst for souls to be saved. Listen, we're going to rally together. We're going to have a corporate outreach as the body of Christ. But don't wait till then. Don't wait until we all form this project of going out and witnessing and door knocking. Don't wait till then. There ought to be a hunger and thirst in your life as a Christian, and a Christian individually, to share the gospel. Share the gospel. Be ready to share the gospel anywhere you go. There ought to be a hunger and a thirst for souls to be saved. The vision we should have. Do you have a vision for souls to be saved? Do you have a holy heartburn? Is there a flicker? Is there a fire within your heart to share Jesus? It may be covered up with cares and concerns within this walk of life, but there ought to be a fire, there ought to be at least a flicker, there ought to be some desire within your heart to say, you know what, I wonder if they're saved. They need to get saved. I want to share. Is that desire in your heart to want to share Jesus with others? It's commanded that we should share Him. Turn, if you would, for a moment to John chapter number 15. John 15, we're done in Isaiah. John chapter number 15. Notice this. John chapter number 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so he's talking about fruit here. And what's the fruit of a Christian? Is another Christian. Someone said one time, well, this is talking about spiritual fruits. Well, I mean, we should go bring forth fruit. But I think primarily it's talking about soul winning. He's talking about going out to the highways and hedges and winning the lost. And he says that if we do that, what's the rest of that verse say? That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So the question is tonight, what kind of prayers have we been praying for this church? What, I'll even say this, on an individual, personal Christian level, what kind of prayers have we been praying that God hasn't answered yet? Could it be linked to the Great Commission? Could it be if we get, and listen, you already may be a soul winner, great if you are, but could it be that when we get busy about sharing Jesus with others, God will start answering some prayers? Could it be? I believe so. I believe so. And so we see that it is commanded that we should share him. This verse tells us that he has ordained us to go and bring forth fruit, is what the Bible says. Over in the book of Mark, you don't have to turn there, but chapter number 5 and verse 19, the demonic maniac of Gadara. All right, he was a demonic maniac. God got involved and turned him into a divine messenger. And he wanted to be with Jesus as anybody would that has gotten saved. But Jesus told him in Mark 5, chapter 5, verse number 19, Jesus told the maniac man of Gadara, they got saved, to go home to Decapolis and tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee. It is commanded to be a soul winner, to share Jesus at least, and it ought to be a desire as well. That's the vision we should have as souls. As souls. Let me mention another thing. Not only we see the vision we should have, but then I want you to notice or listen along the voice we should use. You can make a difference with just your voice. Heard a story one time of two young men, and they were walking down the shoreline, and one was tossing all the seashells back in the ocean, one at a time. There was thousands of them for miles, it looked like. The friend said, why are you doing that? You'll never make a difference. And as he tossed the next one in, he said, made a difference to that one. And so we see in that story that it's one life at a time, each one reach one. When it comes to the voice we should use, it's all about God using one voice for one person, one time. At a time. I think about Andrew that got saved. He's the disciple that you don't really hear about. You hear about Peter and what great things that the Lord has done in Peter's life, and how Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached and thousands got saved. Oh, Peter, a great apostle. But think about it for a minute. Who told Peter about Jesus? It was Andrew. Andrew findeth Peter, told Peter about the Lord. Peter got saved. It's all about using our voice to one person, one at a time, one life at a time. The person that you have been praying about, witnessing to, or talking to, you haven't had the courage. I don't know, somebody at Home Depot, somebody at Walmart, some store at work, school, whatever may have you. That might be the next great missionary. That might be the next Billy Graham. That might be the next just cheerful giver in the church. That might be the next a president, be a saved president. You just never know who that person might be when you witness to them, what might happen, the fruits of it. Of course, we know that it was the voice of one, John, in the wilderness preaching repentance and paving the way for the Lamb of God to come upon the scene. And it was through the voice of one person that did that. So we see the voice we should use. We see the vision we should have. But then lastly, I want to mention the verses we should remember. I want to give you tonight the Romans Road. I did my best when I first got saved to remember these verses so that whenever I was witnessing, I could share them in the conversation. You can write them down. You may already know them. You can just listen intently. But if you remember these verses, if you jot down the address of these verses, each and every one, these are great verses to use when you're talking to somebody about the Lord. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen. That is, every last one of us are natural born sinners. We are all guilty. We have all missed the target of God's holiness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23. Because of that sin, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so there's going to be, You work all week and you earn wages. Well, the wages, there's coming a time when we're going to have to give account for the life that we live. There's going to be an end result of the wages of sin, which is going to be death. Now, we all are going to die in here unless Jesus comes first, and those who are saved will miss the grave and go to heaven. But those who have not accepted Jesus, you'll die twice. And the first death is the physical death, but then the second death is spiritual separation from God forever. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A person does not have to go to hell tonight. They can accept this gift. Again, this is a gift, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a blessing to know that. And then I jotted down Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so for the person that is lost and doesn't know that they're saved tonight or not, not sure if when they died heaven to be their home, I want you to know that Jesus was thinking of you when he was on the cross. And he publicly, he displayed, he exhibited his love on that cross. What a blessing that is to know that God, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Then, of course, Romans 10:9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so we know that it's more than just words we are reciting. We're not saying raise your hand and pray a prayer after me. It's more than that. It's understanding that you are a sinner, like we all are sinners, and we are separated from God because of that sin. And Jesus came to bridge that gap between his holy Father and sinful man. And once we recognize that, and we want to make that right, and we want to go to heaven when we die, we want to be saved, then we say, as the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. Confessing that Jesus is Lord and he died for you, he was buried and he rose again on the third day. When you're sharing Jesus with someone, you share that verse with them. But also Romans 10:10, the Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." You see, it's no work, it's no deed, it's not baptism, it's not knocking on doors, it's none of those things. This is a work through the operation of the gospel, Jesus Christ, God's Son. And the moment that we confess Him as our Lord and Savior, ask Him to come into our heart, we recognize He died on the cross, He was buried on the third day, He rose again. And the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Immediately, Jesus' righteousness is imputed on our account. What a blessing. If I go by the bank tomorrow, which I won't because it's MLK Day, and that's all right. But the next time I do go, I will hand the lady my check through the tube, and what's on my check will be on my account. Every nickel, every dollar, every cent, that's going on my account. And what we have Jesus' righteousness. And the moment that we accept Him into our hearts, His righteousness is imputed. It is given. It is deposited on our account. There is nothing that I can do being saved now that could ever lose my salvation. I can't even get no more righteous than I am because Jesus is my righteousness. What a blessed thought. What a peace of mind. What a joy divine that Jesus Christ would come and die for us. And the moment we accept Him, we are as righteous as that we will ever be. What a blessing. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Listen, if there's someone here tonight, if there's someone watching on Facebook, and I ask you, where will you be 100 years from now? What would your response be? You say, well, I will be in heaven. All right, let me ask you this. What are you basing that on? Why do you think you'll be in heaven? If you tell me because I confess Jesus is Lord, and I'll say, hallelujah, we'll see you there. But if you say, well, I don't know, you know, I mean, I try to do good, and God knows my heart. I have a family, and I work hard every day, and all of these things. Listen, that's not good enough. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so I ask you again, where will you be 100 years from now? When you, 100 years, where will you be? Will you be in heaven or will you be in a place called hell? The only way to get to that place called heaven is by recognizing that you are a sinner, whoever you are out there. You have missed the mark. You are eternally separated from God at this point. And because of Jesus, if you accept His gospel plan, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe You died for me. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. Father, take me to heaven when I die. Be the King and Lord of my life. Give me Your purpose and Your plan now. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth, if we believe in our heart, we shall be saved. And so if you're not sure of your salvation tonight, you can be for sure. You can be. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You might say, well, you know, you just don't know what I've done. You just don't know how what I've been through. You just don't know how low down even I've been in life. You just don't know. He don't want to save me. Some people feel that way. Let me read you this, if that's you tonight, and you feel like you're unsavable. Romans chapter 10 in verse 13. And I'm going to ask you a question, whoever you are. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the question I want to ask you, since you're saying you're unsavable, since you're saying God don't want me, please explain to me who this whosoever is. Explain to me, the person that may be watching or even here tonight, you've been resisting God's salvation and you think you're not savable. Please explain to me this scripture. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who is whosoever tonight? Who is it? If not you, who? Can I say the beauty of that verse is, it is what it says it is. Whosoever, the rich, the poor, the miserable, the blind, the sick, the halt, the person who feels like they're unsavable, the person who feels like they don't deserve it. None of us deserves it. But blessed be the name of the Lord, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you, mister. That's you, miss. That's you, boy, child, and girl. Anybody can get saved tonight. It's His desire that men and women come to repentance, to a place where they say yes to Jesus and turn to Him for salvation. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's some verses that we should remember. It's called the Romans Road. Write them down. Keep your ribbon in your Bible wherever you're at. Pull it out. Share them. You know, it's just one thing that the enemy doesn't want us to do. He doesn't care about what great services we have inside here. He doesn't even care who comes to the altar. I mean, we can have jubilee and we can swing from the chandeliers. You know, the preachers can top the pews, running. The devil don't care about none of that. He just don't want that to get outside of here. He don't care if we preach the gospel in here. He don't care if we teach Sunday school the gospel in here. He don't care if we raise up the little boys and girls and all the sweet little songs they sang about Jesus, and the stories we teach about the Word of God. He don't care about none of that. He just don't want us to share it out there. And two reasons why we don't share it out there is because, number one, we just don't know what to say. And number two, if we say something, we may be rejected. Well, guess what? I know I put myself out here today, and I know the devil has his eye on me. He's going to try me sometime this week. I will put myself out there and fail miserably witnessing to somebody and blow it all, sound like a dummy, forgive me, and not make sense. I would rather do all of that because Jesus died for me than be in fear and not say nothing at all. I remember when I first got saved, hard to believe, 21 years ago, for me, I know someone here has been saved 150 years. Glory to God. But I remember when I first got saved, man, I was Floyd Road. I worked building grounds, man, and in the mornings, I go over to the Quick Trip, and almost like every time, there was a Jehovah's Witness there. Every time. And I just engaged with them. I did. They tried to talk to me, and I would talk to them, and then I just start talking to them. You know, and listen, I'm not making fun. Anytime I preach on stuff like this, I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm just giving you my observations. You can tell a Jehovah's Witness at a gas station, number one, most of the time they back their cars in, and a lot of the times they're all wearing, you know, dresses and suits. Okay, I don't know a lot of people, unless you're a businessman or a preacher, an evangelist, you know, you're going out of town, I mean, got a suit on, unless you're a Jehovah's Witness. But I can remember engaging with them in conversations, getting worked up, getting fired up. And one of the things that always I left feeling so defeated was I knew what I believed. I just didn't know why I believed what I believed. I couldn't back up what I believed. It was frustrating. Then through time and opportunity, especially learning the Romans Road and these verses, it really gave me a confidence. And then through time, I would just, at Floyd Road, we had We had a Saturday homeless ministry where we would preach, you know, door knocking, stuff like every church I've been involved with, there's been door knocking, but it always seems like that's the hardest thing to get going is the door knocking, is the inviting people to church. But it's been 21 years ago, not since I told somebody about Jesus, but from when I first started talking about Jesus. And I want to get back to that kind of fire that I had at one point in my life. Oh, it's there. It's flickering. But I want the Lord I want Him to fan that flame. I want to unashamedly go out and tell people about the Lord. And again, that verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Honor Him. Reverence Him. Let Him have His respected place in your life, the preeminence, the first place. Sanctify Him in your heart. Be ready to give an answer to every man of that hope you have within you. That's what I want to do. And I just wonder if anybody would meet me to do that. And again, you probably do that on the job and do that with your life and wherever you go. But I just really want you to consider, whenever we go as a church, would you consider going with us? And if you're not comfortable talking to someone as we approach homes, you don't have to. If you don't feel comfortable even going and doing that, then we need people who make the flyers. Miss Lee Ellen made our first batch, but we need somebody, you know, to gather those flyers, and we need somebody to, you know, if you can lick a stamp, we'll be sending some out. If you don't want to lick a stamp, then give stamps for somebody to lick. Everybody has a job in this. Everybody has a hand in this. And so that's our heart tonight. Just wanted to talk about for a few moments. Again, piggybacking from this morning, kind of sharing Jesus with others. The vision, the voice, the verses. And we mentioned to you some other verses that could be helpful as well. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for all things. God, that's all I've got tonight, but I just thank You, Lord, for such a great church and listening crowd. God, I know that they're on top of their own Christian life, and I'm sure they share the Lord, but this is my heart, Lord. This is my heart, and I'm just excited about it. And so, Father, I pray that it would be contagious and that we would all just make that special effort, a little extra effort, and really make something, make You known, Lord, in 2024. We love You tonight, and we thank You for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.